We're here in the middle of the ninth perek, the Sefer Chovas Talmidim. According to the schedule, I will not be here next week from tonight to learn Chovas Talmidim with you. And we hope that we'll be able to have a special speaker. When those of us that were in Krakow, there was a Yid that was there during Shacharis, I think it was. It was a survivor who went through the camps. And because it was during Shacharis, so many of us did not get a chance to speak to him. He lives in, I believe, Ramat Gan, if I'm not mistaken. Managed to contact him. Hopefully he will be able to come a week from tonight to be able to share his story. Those of you, for sure, those of you that either met him or were there, experienced, you know, the camps, will be that much more meaningful. But for everyone, I think that the truth is, I think it's very much a very important thing for people to meet a survivor. The world is slowly edging towards denial of the atrocities of the Holocaust. And if a person can say that I actually met someone that was there, it makes a very big difference, because many people don't believe. You'd be shocked at how many, I would say hundreds of millions of people, I don't think I'm off in that number, that don't believe, that believe the Holocaust was exaggerated. Either it didn't really happen, maybe they were put into very tight quarters, but they weren't really being exterminated. It was, you know, that the Jews are using it as propaganda more than anything else. And for a person to be able to meet someone that actually experienced the horrors of the Holocaust, I think is a very important thing for us, and to be able to also to pass on to our children. So hopefully he will be here a week from tonight. We're still finalizing the details. Hopefully that will happen. In 2 weeks from tonight, Beis Hashem, I hope to be back. I mean, hopefully we'll do really well and I'll be able to come back earlier, but barring that event, the schedule is that I'll be back, Beis Hashem, 2 weeks from tonight to be able to continue during Chovas Talmidim. So we'll just have a 1 week little break. So we're speaking about here, in this such Heilige Sefer, we're speaking here about the Inyan of Tefillah. Speaking about a person trying to be able to appreciate Tefillah. We're talking about how a person, if he has a hard time with trying to connect, he feels like he can't imagine a Kodesh Baruch Hu, what is he supposed to do? So he says, maybe a Kodesh Baruch Hu is not here, but a Kodesh Baruch Hu is there. So try to picture yourself as there. Try to picture yourself if you've gone through the roof, you've gone out through past the sky, outside of our atmosphere, past the ozone, and you're already there, like in Shemaim, and there's the Kisei HaKavod, there's Malachim around, there's Srafim, there's all these different things, and you're standing there in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The person try to picture himself there, and that kind of makes it more real. Makes it that it's something that's more apparent. That's what a person should try to do. And we speak about when a person during Kedusha, a person says Kadosh, 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 and he lifts himself up three times. What in essence he's doing is he's elevating himself, saying that I'm flying, I'm going up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm coming up. We spoke about that moment of Kadosh, the Medrash that says how HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his eyes locked together with our eyes, and how it's the most beautiful moment HaKadosh Baruch Hu has. He's overcome with passion, and he's overcome with feelings of yearnings, that he holds on to his Kisei HaKavod, he grabs the Kisei HaKavod, and he just wants to like hug us. That's all he wants to do. And that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's favorite moment. And when we do that, we're makar of the Geula. That's what happens when you daven, every day when you daven. So we're on page Ayin Vav. This is where we're up to. In the new printing, the beginning of the paragraph is Bidvarim halalu ta'ayin b'toich ri'iyah b'shamayim. These things, you should be ma'ayin in them, which means you should focus on, you should think about it, you should dwell on it. B'toich ri'iyah b'shamayim, when you're looking up to the shamayim. And try to work hard to focus yourself, to try to channel all of your concentration, your eyes and your heart, to look and to have kavanu. B'chalal, in general, we speak to Hashem. Which means we speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we engage Him as if we're talking directly to Him. L'mashal, Ata Hu Elokeinu, Baruch Ata Hashem. We speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly. Af im ein ata mabit b'shamayim b'shazu t'dayik es ha'ata. Even if you're not looking up to Shemayim, but think about the word ata. Think about the fact that you are right now talking directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. U'titzayir b'daitecha sh'Hashem ashin l'negdecha ata oimer ata. With this, I want to answer a question, Rabbi Yisai. Someone came and posed a question to me last week. Question is as follows. When a person speaks to someone who he has respect for, he doesn't address him directly. He says, what would the Rebbe like? What would the Rav like? You speak to someone in a third person, it's called. It's a sign, it's a show of respect. So someone said, it's like very bizarre. Why do we do that? If we speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we speak to Ata, we just speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly. Why is it, what, the Rebbeim are holier than thou, even holier than Hashem? Could it be such a thing? Can't be. So what's the pshat of this? And I think the pshat is as follows, and I think he's being meramis to this right here. The pshat is as follows. As far as we can tell, there's really not much of a difference between us and someone that we have respect for. We're all human beings, so maybe he's got a longer beard than we do, but he's a human being just like the rest of us. We don't have a hard time relating to him. We have a hard time relating to the fact that he is something that's like above us. So in order to place him there, we have to refer to him in third person. That puts us in the proper perspective. Realize that he's in a different level. With HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's the opposite. With HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have such a hard time relating to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How do we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? He's not in this world. We can't see him. How is it bechlal that I can establish a connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows us to say Ata in order to facilitate that relationship. That's what it's there for. Therefore, it's the Baruch Ata. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, here we are. I'm with you. I'm here. Because that's not obvious. So in order for us to establish the proper relationship, we have to say Ata. With someone that we respect, it's the opposite. In order to establish the proper relationship, we don't say Ata. Because over there, it's much easier for us to try to be buddy-buddy. He's just like us. He's a regular guy. But he's not. So in order to remind ourselves of that, we dafka speak in third person. That's what he says. When a person says, davens, tedayik asa Ata, should be medayik la'ata, which means, shel Hashem asher linegdecha atoim ad, Hashem is here. You're speaking directly to him. It's not like something that, like, you know, you're screaming it. Hashem, you're talking directly to, having conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what tefillah is. It's just a conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What an opportunity. We have to talk to Hashem. Avo. Al tidame shirak boifanim halolu levad shirashamnu lucha. Don't think, don't you just imagine that only the things that we wrote for you here is the prescription. This is like the only schedule that a person, the regimen that he could have. Yochel atel oyeres nafshach. It's the only way to do it. Don't think that. Loi keinu. Kol ish Yisrael imrak yoidea she'en gufay v'libay hefker. Every Yid, if he would just be aware, he would know, he would be conscious of the fact that his body and his heart are not hefker. Lasois v'lachshoiv mikol haba biyadam. To just do and think whatever comes his way. Kol isha oived im atzmoy. Anyone who's working on himself. Kipam bipam yamtziloi oifanim v'emtzoyim lo oiris nafsho. Kodesh Baruch Hu will give him opportunities. Will provide opportunities that he his life lot says mitoich. Machboye gufal is karav l'Hashem. Because Baruch Hu gives him opportunities. A person needs to do two things. He needs to realize that you don't just look at anything. You don't just think about anything. You don't just do anything. A person has to be in control. He has to be aware that there's such a thing as being in control. There's people that have a misnomer. They think that we can't negotiate certain things. You can't negotiate emotions. You can't negotiate the way I think. person says, I'm afraid. Can't blame me for being, I'm afraid. What do you want from my life? I'm afraid. I want to be afraid. What do you want from my life? Person says, I don't like this. I don't like that. What do you want from my life? I don't like it. I can negotiate that. It is what it is. I can't negotiate emotions. I can't negotiate thoughts. Things go in my head, and it's like, you know, my head is a really, really nasty place to be. What am I supposed to do? That's what my head thinks. I can't control that. I can't control my thoughts. It's not true. It's absolutely not true. A person can negotiate his emotions. A person can negotiate his thoughts. A person has to know that. One of the things, one of the mitzvahs of the Torah is a person goes to war. The mitzvah of the Torah is to not be afraid. How could you have a mitzvah not to be afraid? I can negotiate my fear. I have fear. What can I do? I heard from Reb Shalom Erlinger, he said the name of his grandfather. His grandfather is Reb Shalom Avolde. He's considered the Mashkiach. In my generation, when I was younger, the word the Mashkiach meant Reb Shalom Avolde. That's what it meant. He was it, the entire world. He was the Mashkiach. He was called the Mashkiach Hador, Reb Shlomo Avolde. He wrote a book called Alei Shor. One of the classic, it became a classic musar work. It's unbelievable. There's like nothing in our generation, anything near it. You have Mesilas Yesharim hundreds of years ago, Derech Hashem, Das Tvunos, Chovas Alvavos, and then you have Alei Shor. Where did that come from? It was just a few years ago he wrote the book. It's unbelievable what he did. He said, Amar Dik Yesoid, Reb Shlomo Avolde. He said, you see a person and he's 70 years old and you see where he got to in his life, you see who he is, you know all of his hopes and all of his dreams and everything he wanted to do and what did he want to become. He said, he is exactly who he wanted to be. No different. People always have excuses. It's because of this didn't happen, because that didn't happen, because of this I couldn't do it, because of that again. You are exactly who you want to be. You think exactly what you want to think about. So people always say, if only I would have, I could have. No. This is who you want to be. It's very simple. Chazal say, Ein davar oymed lefnei haratzon. Nothing gets in the way of desire. You want to be something, you'll be it. So why you're not it? You know why? Because you don't really want it. You don't really want it. Oh, I want it a little bit. I would love to a little bit. But no, deep down, you are exactly who you want to be. Person realizes his mind, you don't just allow your mind to go wherever it wants. You can control your mind if you want to. You can control your goof if you want to. Don't just go anywhere. Don't just think anything. You have to realize that, and the second condition is you have to work on yourself. He has to be someone she'oyved im atzmai. Okay, you're right. I know that I can negotiate my emotions, but who wants to work that hard? It ain't easy. It's not easy to control what you think about. It's not easy to control what you see. It's not easy to control where you go. It's much easier to just like allow it to happen. Just go with the flow. But a person that's prepared to work on himself and he knows that I can control the way I think, the way I talk, where I go. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you inspiration. He hands it to you. It's there. Opportunities happen. And it just happens out of the blue sometimes. Listen to this. V'yesh gam pa'amim she'tavoyna lecho machshavos v'hisoyrus me'atzmon. There's times when comes machshavos and service by themselves. You don't even work on it. Asher lo shi'arta v'lo hacheinoisa isam. You didn't expect it. You didn't prepare for it. L'mashal, classic b'yomim noiroim b'tzvila k'shemiraninim hashevach la'ashem. Sometimes it's during Yom Neroim, and you weren't like ready for this. You're just singing, and all of a sudden, somehow you got caught in the niggin. Atu elokeinu, v'gam ata hischalta imahem l'ranein. You started singing, you got caught in the niggin. Yovoi moirecha bilibecha. All of a sudden, you feel it. It's happening. It washes over you, a feeling of your shemayim. Haloi ata. Now, Elyoinim, Tachtoinim are singing Shirat HaKadosh Baruch Hu, L'Kel HaGadol, HaMisnase Aleim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's exalted over them, Ve'ezeh Shaychus Li HaShovel. What Shaychus do I have to sing Shirat HaKadosh Baruch Hu Imahim? Ve'eches Chatzef L'Sorev Im Mishayir Rekel Mesam Chilakim. How do I have the audacity to be here? But a person feels it. He feels at that moment like he's there. Sometimes it makes him feel small. But he wasn't even prepared for it. It wasn't like he knew that this song, these words, or this anything. Sometimes it just happens. And the Svarim HaKadoshim speak about there's two different ways a person sings Shira. One way is Az Yashir. Az Yashir is, Rashi says, Az Hele Belibam Loimer Shira, which means sometimes a person feels like he wants to sing because he's so inspired. He's full of inspiration, so he sings. And sometimes it happens the other way around. Vayiroinu, Vayiplo Apneim, means they sang and all of a sudden they fell on their faces, which means they had a feeling of Hisiris. Sometimes you're not feeling it, but if you just sing, so then it happens. There's a saying, you fake it until you make it. It's not really what it is. It's you fake it until you become it. You just start singing and then all of a sudden it happens. It hits you. Because when a person does these types of things, so then he's putting it in motion, and then all of a sudden the Hisiris comes. You weren't even prepared. So now a person's there, he's davening. And he feels the Yir Shamayim is washing over him. And he feels, I'm here singing Takodesh Baruch Hu, it's Rosh Hashanah, it's Yom Kippur, and there's Malachim up there singing Takodesh Baruch Hu, and there's Tzadikim singing Takodesh Baruch Hu, and there's big people, and then there's little old me, and what in the world am I doing here? Upisaim ki'ilu nafach b'chol ruachayim. And like suddenly, as if someone has blown into you second wind. Ruach is chazkus, a wind of strength. Haloi kach darko shel simcha. You realize the following thing. Listen to this beautiful mashal. Haklei zemer v'hamenagnim holchim beruchoy v'menagnim. You have the musicians and you have the singers. They're going in the streets. Back in the day, weddings happened in the streets. We have a beautiful thing in my family. We have my great-grandfather's memoirs. When he was an older man, so he used to put his grandchildren to sleep, he'd tell them stories about Europe. And he recorded it. And after they recorded it, they transcribed it. We have written down memoirs for my great-grandfather. My great-grandfather had a phenomenal memory. Mamish remembered everything to the T, exactly what the names of the streets are in Europe, everything. And he described his wedding, my great-grandfather's wedding, back in a little town called Timkovich. It's a little town in Belarus, Russia. And he describes the wedding, and they used to walk through the streets of the wedding. They'd walk through. You know, my great-grandfather got married in a barn. And there was no party planner or anything like that, you know what I mean? They didn't have any, you know, didn't hang any curtains on the barn, and they got married in a barn, just like that, in a barn. That's where he got married, you know? So everyone's walking through the streets, and they're, you know, they're banging, all the musicians are banging their instruments, and the menagnim are singing. And what's going on? V'imohem ha-mechutanim, and the mechutanim are part of the what's it called, the procession, thank you. V'chol ha-chashuvim sasim usmeichim, and all of the town, all the elders of the town, all of the chashuvim of the town, V'yalde ha'ir abzuyim, and you got the little kids, these abzuyim, these little children, ha'yechefim, they're not even wearing any shoes, v'shchori panim, and they got faces all black with dirt, mulachlachim begadim, and they're wearing dirty clothing, acherim atzim v'ratzim, they're all running after them. You got this situation, you have all these dignified people, you know, wearing fancy clothing, and then you have the mechutanim, you have the rabbanim, and you have these little kids who, you know, there's the hak, right? Back in the day, this was the only exciting thing there was, you know what I mean? There's a wedding in town, everyone's getting all pumped up, and the kids are running, and these little kids, they're barefoot, their clothing's ripped, right? They haven't showered since Friday, and they go from Friday to Friday, and they're there, they're part of the party. And what are they doing? Moichayim kaf, they're clapping their hands. V'imoyim smeichim u'mezamrim, and they're happy and they're singing. V'gamze mikvoide hachasana v'hasimcha. This is also part of the procession. This is part of the cover of the chazan. It's part of the hype. You got the kids there, and they're excited, and they're singing, and they're jumping. And all makes freilach. V'nafshecha roya oz makela k'doyla m'shoyerike. Your nefesh is seeing now. Everyone's singing Takodesh Baruch Hu Shira. is malachim, srafim, chayos, chashmal, all these, like, all the malachi asharis are all singing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then there's tzaddikim, chasidim, yesharim, all these wonderful, beautiful people. And then there's little old me, the schnook. And what am I doing here? And you realize, Malachi Amorim, Yachadim Yisrael Lemata, Shorim Umzamrim Ata Shiro Lamelech, HaKavod Asher Oymer Aleihem. Shomei Umazin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is listening. Sameach Umispar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is happy with this Shira. And this is his glory. Ve'ata, and you, Ki Yeled Yochef Umeluchlach. You're like a child, barefoot and dirty, B'chol Koychacha, with every ounce of strength, Ratzcha, you're also running there. The Aleihem Nischabru, and you want to just connect with this beautiful Shira. And together with this beautiful choir, you're also singing Shira, that you have the Shtoikikus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yearning for Him. Simchascha mislakedes. Your simcha is like lit up. Viruchacha nishbara. And your heart, your spirit is broken. Mislaheves admoid. You have this feeling of so much you want to be a part of this. Right? It's such a heartfelt feeling that you feel that your ruach is nishbar, umislaheves. And still it's like very, very on fire. Achilafamim. Libcha nimes, your heart will even melt. Uboicha beze yoiser, you could cry more at that moment than any other moment. In the middle of just the tefillah, if you really think about what's happening. I want to try to put this into some more relevant, perhaps, for us, because we're not holding Baruch Hashanah and Kippur singing these shirs. I'll tell you a story. It was made famous by Pesach Kron, the story. When he was on his trip to Italy, he told the story. Because it's about an Italian, what's it called? Someone that runs a conductor. That's it, conductor. So the story is about starts in the mountains, and this is some Yid by the name of Pluchak. Well, Pluchak, I think, is part of a yeshiva in Flatbush or Borough Park, but he has a summer kollel for mechanchim. Up in the mountains, and up there they have all these rabbanim that during the year are teaching Torah, and they have in the summer they have off from their jobs. There's a mechanchin koil, and that koil, there's a lot of mechanchin that are there, and the kol Torah is very powerful. It's a beautiful thing. And there, Rav Pluchak, who's in charge of the koil, noticed that there was one yid who's sitting there in front of his art school Gemara. It's clearly not a machanach, who comes every day, he's coming, and sitting and learning. Sarah Plutzak goes over to him, and says to the Yid, Shalom Aleichem, what's your name, how are you? So the person, you know, says his name, he says, I hope it's okay if I sit here, I hope you don't mind. He said, of course, we're very happy to have you. He says, tell me a little bit about your life. He starts talking to him a little bit, and he finds out that this person, he's a person who was a businessman, you know, was a regular balabas, and he just recently was diagnosed with cancer. And he decided that if not now, then when? And he's going to spend the summer sitting and learning in this car. And Rav Pluchak was very touched by his story. He told him, for sure, you can come whenever you want, don't worry about it, wherever you want to sit, we're very happy to have you. And this person was coming day after day, the person came. And then, all of a sudden, he doesn't show up one day. And then another day, so Pluchak calls him up on the phone and he says, what happened, why are you not coming anymore? He says to him, Rabbi, he says, I sit there in this kollel with all these rabbanim, these talmidei chachamim, so many people learning Torah. They know so much. I sit there with my art school Gemara. I could barely make out what it means, bechlal. He said, does it really make a difference if I come sit and learn in this kollel? Does it really make a difference? And besides, said the cancer is spreading, and it's going to be a matter of time. So Rav Plutchak was very stunned, and he davened HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he should give me siyat teshmai, he should give him the right answer. He told him the following story. There was a composer, conductor, who was very famous. His name was Toscanini. I don't remember his first name. Antonio Toscanini. He was a very famous composer, conductor. He was exceptional. He was mamish legend. He was legend. To the point that he had a biographer who was trying to chronicle this person's life, Toscanini's life. Now, one thing you have to know about a lot of legends is they're very temperamental and they have their mishigasin. So this person was trying to shadow him, not get in his way. And they had a meeting once a week where they were going to where they would sit and talk about different events that happened in the course of his life. So Toscanini told his biographer, he said, "This Wednesday night, we can't meet." So he asked him, "Why can't we meet?" He says, "We can't meet this Wednesday night. I'm sorry. I don't have time for you." He said, "What's going on?" He says, "You can't come. I'm sorry. There's nothing to talk about. I need my own time." So he said, "Mr. Toscanini, could you please tell me what's happening?" So he said, "There's a concert and it's being played on the radio. And they're playing a very, very difficult piece. It's an extremely difficult piece. It's a piece that I myself have conducted many times. And I was supposed to be there, but for whatever reasons, I couldn't go. And I need to be able to listen, and I can't be disturbed. I can't have anyone else there. I need my space." So the biographer said, "Mr. Toscanini, this is such an opportunity for me. I'm trying to understand who you are. I'm trying to sit in your shoes. I really just want to be there. I won't say a word, nothing. You won't even know I'm there. I just want to be able to watch you while you're listening to this composition. Just want to be able, you won't even know, I'll slip in, slip out, nothing." After a little bit of negotiating, he said, "Okay, you could come." So he goes into the house, Toscanini's sitting there, there's the radio, his hands on his head, and he's sitting there over the radio, and the piece comes on the radio, and he plays the whole piece, and Toscanini's just sitting there with his eyes closed, focused. Anyway, the piece is over. So the biographer says, "Mr. Toscanini, can I ask you a question?" He says, "Yeah, sure." He said, "What did you think? How did he do?" He said, It was good. "But there's supposed to be 102 musicians. There were supposed to be 24 violins. And there was only 23. "You're joking, right? You were listening on the radio and you're telling me that there's only 23 violins? That's ridiculous. You are so full of yourself. You are so crazy. You are so..." Like I said, it can't be. But he figured he's going to find out. And he called up the concert hall and he asked them, "Can I ask you a question about last night's performance?" He said, "Yes. How many pieces played in last night's performance?" He said, "It was supposed to be 102, but one of the violinists was sick, so it was only 101. So the biographer went back to Toscanini and said, "Mr. Toscanini, could you explain to me, how did you do that? How did you do that?" So he said, "Let me tell you the difference between me and you." He said, "You are just a regular person that's just observing. I'm a conductor, and a conductor has to hear every single sound, every single little sound that's made. I can pay attention to it, and I hear it. Even the smallest little thing. You might see there's 24 violins. You might not hear, I hear every single one because I'm the conductor." So Plutchak said to him, he said, "Listen, maybe to some of us bystanders, all we see is there's a bunch of people learning Torah. What difference do I make? I make a difference? What type of sound is coming out of me?" He said, "But the conductor of the universe, he hears everyone and it makes a difference. And we sometimes be like, you don't think you're like, you're not the main person over here. You have the musicians, you have the mechutanim, you have the chashuvei ha'ir. I'm just a barefoot kid running around with dirt on my face. Does it really make a difference if I show up in the Beis Medrash or not? Does it make a difference?" And the answer is, it does. to the conductor of the universe, it makes a big difference. That's what a person has to realize. The story ends that this person passed away, and when Rav Plutchak went to be Menachem Mavel, said the son told him, "I want you to know something. My father, to the last day of his life, said, 'I'm playing for the conductor of the universe.'" And he died with a smile on his face. If we live that way, we realize that we are important. It doesn't make a difference if you're playing the piano, the drums, or the triangle, you know that thing? It doesn't make a difference, because we're all part of the symphony. It's a symphony. And every single person is a musician. And it could be that we have a small part, but that part makes such a difference, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we have to realize that. And then a person can never say to himself, if I daven with a minyan, I don't daven with a minyan. I'm there, I'm not there. I learn an extra few minutes, I don't learn an extra few minutes. Does it make a difference? Huge, huge. Mr. Shambhali Nader, we're going to continue next week.